Morning, everyone. We're going to read from Psalm 47. Just give you a moment to find it. So Psalm 47, for the director of music of the sons of Korah, a psalm. Clap your hands, all you nations. Shout to God with cries of joy. For the Lord Most High is awesome, the great King over all the earth. He subdued nations under us, peoples under our feet. He chose our inheritance for us, the pride of Jacob, whom he loved. God has ascended amid shouts of joy, the Lord amid the sounding of trumpets. Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises to our King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing to him a psalm of praise. God reigns over the nations. God is seated on his holy throne. The nobles of the nations assemble as the people of the God of Abraham. For the kings of the earth belong to God. He is greatly exalted.
Thanks, Janet. Morning, everybody. Good to see you, particularly if you're here for the first time. Just, again, real apologies for not being able to welcome you properly. Boy, do we want this to end. But really good to have you here. That you would speak to us, and we long that our eyes would be lifted to you, the King who reigns, for Jesus' sake. Amen. It was in 2016 that Thomas Bach, the president of the International Olympic Committee, said these traditional words at the closing ceremony in Rio de Janeiro. I call the youth of the world to assemble 4 years from now in Tokyo to celebrate the Games of the 32nd Olympiad. Well, as we know, it didn't quite happen. I don't know, maybe this year, possibly. But if you think about it, the Olympics is a remarkable achievement. It's got a motto, which in Latin, when translated from the Latin, is faster, higher, stronger. And for 2 weeks every 4 years, people from across the world, people from nations that normally don't get along, I don't know, North Korea and South Korea, Iran and Israel, they all come together with the attempt to run faster, jump higher, and fight stronger. It's a remarkable international achievement. And yet, it is far from the oldest, far from being the biggest international movement. There is an international movement that has lasted for millennia, and mercifully, at least for me, it's open to those who can't run very fast, jump very high, or fight very strong. It's open to all, the weak and the poor and the slow. They're all welcome. And they're welcome to the international movement that's celebrated in Psalm 47. You can see, can't you, from the sweep of the psalm, just how big this is. All nations, all the earth, verse 2, all the earth, verse 7. And you get reference again in verses 8 and 9 to the peoples and to the nations. This is about a global movement. You know, some of the psalms that we've looked at over the last few weeks, they've been very personal. This isn't one of them. This is, in a sense, calling us to realize we're part of something large, something big, something magnificent, a worldwide movement. And what are the people called to do? Well, the basic commands in this psalm, they're in verse 1 and verse 6. The world is called to clap their hands, to shout to God with cries of joy. And four times in verse 6, they're called to sing praise. Sing praise, sing praise, sing praise. Which, let's be honest, doesn't sound very 2021, does it? I mean, I guess it's a reminder that to sing praise is a command of God. And any suspension of that can only be limited, even irrespective of government demands. Because we are commanded to sing praise to God, and my hope is before long we will do that. But it's right to do that because of the sheer magnificence of God. And 2021, Well, let's be honest, it's turned us in on ourselves. I guess that's been the very nature of living in a pandemic. We get very inward focused. I don't know, you cough and you're immediately sort of analysing your health and checking you can still smell coffee and stuff like that. Or actually, for many of us, our lives have just got limited to the four walls of our homes. And that's not a healthy position for any human being to be in. And so this is a call to see something bigger than ourselves, to be part of something global, something universal, something better than a universal pandemic, to be part of a universal song. That's what we're called to. This morning, we're going to lift our eyes to something big. And the reason? The reason why we're called to sing and rejoice, the reason why the whole world is invited to join in, is because the Lord is King. The Lord is King. Do you see the argument and the way it goes? Clap your hands, all you nations. Shout to God with cries of joy. Why? Because, verse 2, the Lord Most High is awesome, the great King over all the earth. Or again, this fourfold command to sing is because, verse 7, God is the King of all the earth. That's why we're to sing to him a psalm of praise. And so the reason that you've got this universal call to join in is, in a sense, because the Lord is King. He's the Lord Most High. And of course, behind all that lies, well, all that the Bible has said about who God is. The fact that he is the creator. The fact that, as we see in verses 3 and 4, he's the one who listens to the cries of people in distress and rescues them from slavery. That God is the King. And the invitation really to the world is to recognize reality, is to recognize that this is the true situation in the world. The true situation in the world is that God reigns. Now, that might be the opposite to the way, I guess, people often think about reality. You know, in some ways, reality is kind of happens kind of out there, and here this is the kind of world which is a bit illusory. You know, this is a bit of an illusion where we kind of do sort of vague spiritual stuff. But the reality is the opposite way around. Actually, to live in the world and to ignore God is to live in illusion. To actually recognize that God is King, that's to live in line with reality. You see, in the end, all human beings face a choice as to how they're going to view the world. Either it's just a sort of random accident, or there is a creator who is King. And if that creator is King, he is to be recognized and revered and praised. There's actually something fundamentally helpful for human beings to praise God. Because in a sense, it puts us in the right place. You always praise somebody who's greater than you and better than you. And in a sense, this is a call to the world. Recognize reality. We're not independent beings just sort of left alone as we live in the world. Recognize reality. There is a King to be praised. One who's in control, one who's in command, one who is greater than us. There's a call to the world, recognize reality, the Lord is King. But not just recognize reality as a kind of grim duty. There's a call here to recognize reality and to rejoice in it. Do you notice? Shout to God with cries of joy. Sing praise. Back in 1997, Tony Blair became Prime Minister, and looking back, it might be hard to believe this, but there was a kind of mood of celebration at the time. You know, you'd had sort of 18 years of a sort of Conservative party leading the country, and I think everybody seemed to be ready for a change. And it was a kind of weird May morning, which was beautifully sunny, and there were sort of people celebrating on the streets and so on. Or more recently, If you think your way back to November and when the American presidential election result finally came through, do you remember seeing the pictures on the streets in Washington and New York and people gathering with a kind of mood of celebration because Donald Trump was on his way out? Now, whatever you make of Tony Blair and Joe Biden, we're not making a political point, you see the logic of what was going on. Somebody they liked was about to rule, and that led to celebration on the streets. And here the argument is this: if somebody with the character of God rules, you're going to want to rejoice, aren't you? You know, in a world where you have people like, I don't know, Vladimir Putin in authority, who sort of seems to murder his opponents and so on. You know, in a world where you have people of disreputable character in positions of power, isn't it fantastic news? God is king. And that's why there's the call to shout with songs of praise and joy, because the Lord Most High is the one who reigns. So we recognize reality and we rejoice in it. And you get a taste of that in verse 5, actually. God has ascended amid shouts of joy, the Lord amid the sounds of the trumpets. Now, what's going on here? It's almost certainly a scene that comes in the Old Testament from 2 Samuel chapter 6. I wonder whether you can imagine it. The Ark of the Covenant, which, this is a sort of artist's impression by somebody who was undoubtedly there at the time, but you've got to imagine the Ark of the Covenant, which in many ways is the symbol of God's presence. And it's being brought by David, the king, up to Jerusalem. It's an image of the Lord going up to his throne. And as he goes up to his throne, it's accompanied by the sound of trumpets. And it's accompanied by David dancing for joy. And that's probably what you've got in verse 5. God has ascended amid shouts of joy, the Lord amid the sounding of trumpets. Here is the Lord. He's the king, and he's recognized as such as he comes to Jerusalem. And of course, that's just a bit of a foretaste, isn't it? Of when another going up, another ascension takes place. The Lord Jesus, the one who has dealt, as we thought this morning, with all our sin, with all our guilt as he goes to the cross. The one who's then raised from the dead, now seated with all power and authority, goes up into heaven, ascends as king. And if you think about it, isn't that a reason for universal praise and joy? That the one who has gone to the cross selflessly to defeat sin, the one who's defeated our final enemy, death, the one who is now there, oh, sing praise. Because the Lord Jesus is risen and ascended and glorified. And that's why the whole world is invited to join in this song. The most excellent of men, as we thought 2 weeks ago in Psalm 45, is the King of all the earth. And that's fantastic news. And again, I simply want to encourage us to hold on to this. What is the greatest reality in the world at the moment? I mean, it's obvious, isn't it? The greatest reality at the world in the moment is the pandemic and the lockdown that's ensued. That feels, every time you watch the news, every time you wake up in the morning, that is the ultimate reality that feels like it's pressing in on us. And Psalm 47 says there's a deeper reality. Let's be honest, the pandemic at some point will pass away. It will just be a footnote in history. But for eternity, King Jesus will be praised. That is the ultimate reality in the world. And this is an invitation for us to be caught up in that song. Why praise? Because the Lord is King. And then secondly, why praise? Because his plan is for all the nations. His plan is for all the nations. Now, we've seen a little taste of that already. We've noticed sort of all nations repeated throughout the psalm. But it's a little bit deeper than that. 2 weeks ago, we looked at Psalm 45, And as we looked at Psalm 45, I suggested that the Bible is a bit of a mystery. And what I mean by that, and what the Bible means when it describes itself as a mystery, is that there are hints dropped all the way through it until finally the truth is revealed. And so when we looked at Psalm 45, we saw just hints all the way through the Bible that there's a bridegroom who's also a king, who's also described as divine. And we saw that hinted all the way through the Old Testament until Jesus appeared and announced himself as the bridegroom, with the final climax, actually, again, as we heard earlier, with the bride, the Lord Jesus, and the church brought together for eternity. Well, we find another mystery scattered through Psalm 47. You notice it there in verse 3 and 4. He subdued nations under us, peoples under our feet. He chose our inheritance for us, the pride of Jacob, whom he loved. And almost certainly this is a reference to Israel entering the promised land, defeating the nations who were there, and being given an inheritance. The promised land was the inheritance that God gave them. But let's be honest, there's a bit of a puzzle there, isn't there? Hey, whole world, why don't you praise God because he chose Israel and gave them a land? That's a bit of a puzzle, isn't it? If I'm part of one of the other nations, why am I celebrating the fact that God has given Israel a land? You know, might be a bit miffed, frankly, he hasn't given us a land. Why am I supposed to praise God for that? Well, you see how it develops as you go through the psalm. Verse 8, God reigns over the nations. God is seated on his holy throne. The nobles of the nations assemble as the people of the God of Abraham. For the kings or the shields of the earth belong to God. He is highly exalted. And you suddenly realize that God's choice of Israel and him giving them a land was never just for their sake. It was never just going to be limited to them. Because suddenly you find in verse 9 that the nobles of all the nations are included as Israel, the descendants of Abraham. And by the way, when it refers to nobles, it's not saying, frankly, if you're not very sort of aristocratic, you've got no chance. Rather, it's saying the nobles are kind of illustrative of the whole nation being brought into God's people. You see, God did choose Israel, but never in a way to exclude everybody else, but ultimately so that other people would be brought in. And you realize that's always been the case. That Psalm 47 is picking up a theme that is dotted throughout the Old Testament. So in Genesis chapter 12, God chooses Israel, Abraham, and Israel, Abraham's descendants. But even as God chose Israel, or God chose Abraham, he made this promise: all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. And so just as in Psalm 47, there's always the intention that in choosing Israel, ultimately, all the nations will be included within that. And this mystery is just gradually being revealed, and you see it there in Psalm 47. But there's still a question. How is this going to come about? How will all nations be included within the promise to Abraham? How will all nations be included within this song? Well, you get the very first verse of the New Testament, where we read of Jesus, the Messiah, who is the son of Abraham. That's how Matthew's gospel begins. And suddenly you're getting the hint that the mystery is going to be revealed. Somehow all nations are going to be included in line with the promise to Abraham through Jesus. And then in Matthew's gospel, you know who the first visitors to the child that's been born are? So in Matthew's gospel, he doesn't refer to the shepherds particularly. You know, the first people who come and worship Jesus are magi from the east. The nobles of the peoples are being included within the purposes of God. And Psalm 47, the mystery at the heart of Psalm 47 is revealed. Until at the end of Matthew's gospel, Jesus commands, go, make disciples of all nations. If you like, it's a call to bring them within this universal song, within this promise of Abraham, singing to the King of all the earth, singing to the one who has been given all authority in heaven and on earth. And it's why the Apostle Paul will say in Ephesians chapter 3, this mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body and sharers together in the promise of Christ Jesus. Again, the peoples of all the earth, the Gentiles, they're now included within this song to King Jesus until you get the final picture in Revelation chapter 7, again, as we thought earlier, of people from every nation, tribe, people and language standing before the throne and the Lamb. And what are they doing? Singing praise. Singing praise to the King of all the earth. Oh, I like the Olympics, but boy, it doesn't compare with this, does it? This universal song that people from every nation are invited to join in. It's the most excellent of men who is now the King of all the earth. And the mystery at the heart of Psalm 47 is ultimately fulfilled. Which leads me to two or three closing reflections. Firstly, isn't the Bible remarkable? Can I say, one of the reasons we are confident that this is the Word of God is because you see the divine hand in it. You see the astonishing way in which a plan is revealed across multiple centuries and multiple authors, and the way it weaves together a thread. And we saw it in Psalm 45, this thread of the bridegroom king. Here we've seen it as the king who brings together all nations. And Psalm 47 doesn't complete it, but it is part of the thread that begins with Abraham and appears in Psalm 47 and throughout the Old Testament, and then works its way through Matthew's Gospel and Ephesians and ultimately through to Revelation 7. There's a divine mind behind this. And it gives us confidence both that this is the Word of God and that God has got a plan. And we're invited to join in that plan. How do we join in that plan? By singing the song. I don't know where you're watching this from. It might be actually currently you're watching this in a country where there aren't many Christians. And maybe you've got the suspicion, is Christianity, that's just for other parts of the world? And this is saying you're invited to join in. You're invited to be part of the song. Maybe for some of us, the call is to join in praising Jesus for the first time in our lives. As we see, this is our Creator's plan for the world. Join in the song. And then finally, it might be we want to play our part in inviting others to sing the song. Do you remember Thomas Bach? I invite all the youth of the earth to gather in Tokyo. Well, we get to play our part. You see, if this is the great plan of our Creator, then we'll want to join in, to lift our eyes, even in the midst of a lockdown, beyond our own needs, and to pray, Lord, please, won't you work across the world? Won't you work in countries where there aren't many Christians? Lord, won't you send workers into the harvest fields where it's hard to know the name of Jesus, so that others will be invited to sing this song? One of the things we're going to do in our short prayer times this week is particularly focus on praying for the world, that people might hear the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So can I say, even this year, please don't just allow your eyes to be turned in on yourself, because God has got a plan, and it's a good plan, calling all nations to praise the King, King Jesus, who reigns forever. Let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you for this revelation of your plan for all the world. And we want to pray that you would help us to join in the song. Lord, that we would be those who, in whatever way we can at the moment, praise you and worship you and adore you. Because, Lord, you're greater than us, you're our creator, and you're good, and you're worthy to be praised. We think of the Lord Jesus returning to heaven, risen from the dead, and we hear the trumpet sound, and we want to join in the song, as it were. And Lord, we then pray, please, Lord, may that song ripple out to a world that needs to hear it, we ask, for your name's sake. Amen. Let's have our